Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Theology in the Raw. My guest today is Jason Woodruff, who most of you probably won't know that name, but many or most of you will have heard me talk about the Pour Over podcast. I'm going to just read their byline here. The biggest news of the day, summarized in a way you'll actually understand and enjoy, paired with brief Christian perspectives. Stay informed while keeping focused on Christ. I was blown away when I came across the Pour Over podcast a few months ago. They also have, primarily it's a newsletter that goes out giving you the information, the news information of the day, without giving you a biased perspective, a biased slant on that news information. If there is any bias, it is to bend us toward our allegiance towards Christ. So Jason is the founder and one of the writers of the Pour Over newsletter and podcast. And I just wanted to have him on the show to talk about, like, hey, give us the backstory. Tell us what's going on. How did you come to form this awesome news outlet? So I had a wonderful conversation with Jason. He's a super humble, wise guy. And I love the mission behind the podcast. So please welcome to the show, the one and only Jason Woodruff. All right, hey friends, I'm here with Jason Woodruff from the Pour Over podcast, and we have known each other for about 30 seconds on Skype. So Jason, thanks for being on Theology in Raw, first of all. I'm excited about this conversation. Let me give you, because I don't even know if you know the backstory here, but man, the backstory is I've for a long time have been so just jaded by narrative-driven news outlets to the point to where I had to delete all my news apps. And I typically get my news from listening to long-form podcasts from people that are not committed to a particular narrative, and that's kind of where I get my news. But I'm like, yeah, sometimes I just want to can somebody give me the facts of what happened today? That's it. Hey, Trump did something. Yeah. This is what Trump did. This is what he didn't do. Biden did this. This is what happened. Great. You might hate it, might love it, but I'm going to let you make that decision. So when we started putting sponsors on this podcast, which is kind of a new thing, my guy who finds sponsors said, hey, you should check out this podcast. And I was blown away, dude. I was seriously like, this is what I've been looking for. So I am, my audience should know that you are a sponsor on the podcast. That this conversation is unrelated to that. Like, I'm like, okay, right. I want to just have this guy on. I want to hear your heart behind what you're doing, have you explain to the audience. But this is not like paid. This is just a natural conversation. So all that to say, Jason, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So, I mean, I gave a little bit of kind of a running start. I would just, who are you and what led to starting the Pour Over podcast and newsletter that goes out to tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people?
Yeah. Yeah. So the Pour Over started really as a personal exercise for me while I was getting my MBA. I had finished finals after the first year and had a few weeks before my internship started. And I can relax for a few days at a time, but was starting to get restless and looking for something to do. And really, I have always loved the news. I consume tons of news. It is not anxiety or anger inducing for me. Like it is, and I don't really know how to describe that other than like it's just interesting. And so I've always consumed a lot of news, but was frustrated with a lot of the things that you just said. And specifically, wished there was a timely Christian news source. Mm-hmm. Like there are great Christian news sources out there, but a lot of them tend to like add thoughtful, prayerful reflection on events that happened a month ago. Yeah. Or they talk about what's going on in the church, you know, like, hey, what is Tim Keller doing these days? Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to like timely world news, my frustration was a lot of those news sources were very obviously aligned with an individual political party, you know, and yeah. they existed on both sides. Kind of classically, yeah. they're like Republican conservative news sources. And it's just like, you know, I it feels like as a Christian, I shouldn't care what a Republican should do about this. I shouldn't care about what a Democrat should do about this. I should just care. I should just be informed. And there are tons of Christians like yourself, like you were just saying, that I think kind of rightfully unplugged from the news and saying like, hey, I can't stay up to date with this 24 hours news cycle and not be anxious or depressed or angry. And so I'm just going to opt for being less informed. And it's like, well, so as a personal exercise for me, what does it look like to try to do this? And so I had this conversation over dinner with a friend and was like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to send you an email. I'm going to summarize the news. I'm going to try to truly put Christ first and I'm going to do it for a few months and send it in an email. So you hold me accountable.
When did you start it? When was that? When was that moment?
So that was May of 2018.
It's been going for a while then. I thought it was like okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of been going for a while because like after a year, we had like 400 readers. I mean, it really was like a personal exercise. We had a couple other people helping out, but it was like the only value was to ourselves writing it. And then, so we started 2020 with 2,500 subscribers to the newsletter roughly. And then started 2021 with like 35,000.
Okay.
And we just crossed 150,000 this week.
Word.
So it's really ramped up. We started treating it kind of like a business and finding advertisers and trying to grow in 2020. And then I went full time in July of 2021.
So this is your full time job running the Pour Over.
Yeah.
What other kind of team do you have around you? I'm curious because people always wonder, like with my podcast, like do you have like a big machine behind you or is it just you or what's if you peek behind the curtain of the Pour Over, what am I going to find?
Yeah. So I'm the only one who's full time. We have and everyone involved is pretty young. You know, 20, 25 to 30. And so there's a woman who's part-time, Kathleen. She's an editor and also helps out with our Instagram. And then everyone else is like super part-time. And that's how it was for a long time. Everyone was just like, you know, 5 hours a week. And then I would do a little bit more than that. And so we have four writers, a couple editors. Well, I guess four writers includes myself, three people that just write, couple editors, a guy who helps with the growth. And then our podcast, so the primary medium is our newsletter. It was newsletter first. And then we now, have a podcast. It's the same content. It's well produced. Yeah. It's not like a robot reading the newsletter, but it's an audio version of the newsletter. And, there are a couple people on the podcast team.
Okay. It's you. And then more recently, the last several I've listened to have been a female on there. Is that, one of the other writers who's been,
so I have very little to do with the podcast.
Oh, really?
Like we help doing it. So we have, it's a couple and it's a fun story that a couple friends, guys that I knew through my high school youth group, one of them started like a production agency. And so there are two male voices, they're brothers.
Okay.
And then their sister is the female voice and they just kind of rotate.
Oh, okay.
But all of that, like they're amazing and awesome. And we write the newsletter and like drop in Slack, like, hey, go turn this into a nice podcast. And they run with it.
Wow. Can you explain then, I guess, the newsletter is the script for the podcast, right? There's no real content difference. Is that accurate as I've tried to compare the two?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There are occasionally differences. Like for example, and I don't know when this will be released, but what's going on in the world today is Will Smith slapped someone or Chris Rock at the Grammys. And that happened really late Sunday night. And so I was actually just scheduling, like moving the newsletter from Google Docs into MailChimp. And the podcast had already been recorded. We had a big story on the economy, and like my phone is blown up. It's like, okay, we now need to write about that. So that was like a rare instance where the podcast had already been recorded. So you would get different, like you got a story about the Grammys if you read the newsletter, but if you got the podcast, you got the story about the economy. And then we kind of caught up the podcast on Wednesday. But in general, yes, it's a script for the podcast.
Can you, I guess we've maybe gotten a little bit ahead of ourselves. Can you describe for somebody who has no clue what we're even talking about? Hopefully they've gotten some idea, but what is the Pour Over newsletter podcast? How long? What do you guys talk about?
So like I was saying, really what we wanted to do was to say, to fill kind of the gap of saying Christians being aware of what's going on in the world. So we like select our stories in a very different way from most Christian news sites, in that we read all the biggest news networks and just whatever they're talking about, we talk about. Okay. And so it's not, we are trying to summarize and help Christians process from a foundation of their faith the biggest stories of the day, not the most significant. So we'll get criticism, which is totally valid, of like, why didn't you talk about this? Like, right. This is a huge thing that's going on, that's impacting the church, that's doing whatever. And it's like, yes. And there are other people that are doing that. Mm-hmm. And so we'll talk about what happened at the Grammys. And like, we cover a bunch of politics, the economy, I mean, COVID for years, All the biggest headlines. And then we'll pair the, we do three kind of larger stories, and each one is we're very concise. Large for us is like 125 words. The whole email takes 5 minutes to read. We put a read time up top in the newsletter. And for those longer-ish stories, we'll pair it with some Christian perspective.
Yeah.
And all of that is, all of those are pre-written. That was kind of the first hurdle that we had jump over of, hey, I understand why there's not thoughtful, prayerful reflection on things that happened an hour ago, because there hasn't been enough time for thought and prayer, you know? So like, how do we do that? And so we have a very narrow scope of what Christian perspectives or insight will give. We just really, we are trying to pair what's happening in the world with some foundational Christian principles to help people not separate what's happening in the world from their faith.
As I experienced, I listen to it whenever it comes out. So it comes out 3 days a week, right? The podcast and the newsletter, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yep.
And that's recorded the night before. So when I'm listening Monday, that was on Sunday. So something happened Monday morning. You would address that like on a Wednesday. Would that be accurate? For the most part, or?
Right.
Okay.
Which is, and that timing, there are a number of people that want us to go to 5 days a week, and we're now for a long time we just didn't, because we didn't have the capacity. We're approaching that, and so it's an interesting internal discussion of. I think that there is something valuable, and I hesitate to say this because then we're going to go to five times a week, and everyone's going to. Point me to what I said.
I think I know what you're going to say, but yeah, go ahead. No,
there's like obviously it being a concise summary of the news helps commute the time. There's value in kind of slowing down. Same thing is true with it coming out three times a week. And I think it's like, hey, we want you to be informed, but you don't need to drink from the fire hose. And there's value of just kind of being aware without diving all in and allowing it to consume you. And so there are times that the best example is like what happened on January 6th happened on a Wednesday. And so we didn't write about it until Friday morning. And at that point, when we were writing about it, it's like, man, it feels weird that we aren't like describing what happened. But the whole world has watched what happened. And there's so much fallout from this that like, how do you do it? And that was we thought about like releasing a newsletter on Thursday or Wednesday addressing it. And we're like, No, you know, like I think part of what we're doing is, hey, take a beat. But there's also, I mean, I can make strong arguments for it being 5 days a week as well.
Yeah, I could definitely see, but I would love it 5 days a week. I listen to it every morning when I take a shower. So it's a perfect timing. It's a 5-6 minute shower. I put it up in the little windowsill. It's right in my ear, and you know, I can kind of dovetail, and it just gives me, here's the major stuff going on in the day. Here's what I loved most about, well, not most, it's hard. There's so many things I love about it, but you know, as I listen to different news outlets, and I try to listen to this side of the aisle, that side of the aisle. And sometimes you feel like you're listening to, you know, the news on Venus and then the news on Mars. Like it's almost like they're describing two different worlds, you know? So it's kind of up to me to kind of say, okay, let's try to piece this together. But, and I've said this often, you know, if the rhetoric of a certain news outlet is not helping you love your neighbor and enemy more, then you might need to turn it off. Mm-hmm. And that's why I turned it off. Because, like, you know, I'll listen to the right side of the aisle and you think every Democrat's an idiot. And you listen to the left side of the aisle, you think every Republican's a racist Nazi. And it's like, that's not helping me when I meet my Republican neighbor with a MAGA hat or meet my neighbor with a Biden flag. Like, I've separated my identity from, I don't get into myself, but what happens, you can see my shirt, exile. Like I'm an exile in Babylon. My identity is not Babylon. So whichever Babylonian wars are going on, it's kind of more, I don't want to trivialize it like it's entertaining, but it's kind of like, oh, this Babylonian leader ripped on that one. And it's like, wow, what a horrible way to rule the world. You know, I'm so glad I belong to a different kingdom. You know, it's kind of how I can even sense my heart, like, being tugged in those directions, even as somebody who has deliberately separated my identity from that. So this is what, like, you guys do a great job, an excellent job of truly not showing your cards. Like, you'll describe the event. There's not even like intonation, inflection, or, you know, a little backhanded jab. And sometimes you guys do introduce humor, but it's in my, from my vantage point, you're not doing that underlying jab to the other side. You're just kind of saying something kind of funny that everybody can kind of agree with. And I don't even know if that's intentional, but the few times when you had a open door of like just neutrally describing an event, which somebody might say, yeah, that's ridiculous that they would say that or do that. You don't show your cards. And I'm so glad you don't, you know, it's so, I love it, man. It's so good.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, it's an interesting, because like core to the pour over is saying politics just matter less than what the world would have you believe. And it's to say, hey, if I'm a Christian first, that means I can't be a Democrat first. That means I can't be a Republican first. That means I can't be an American first. You know, like I'm a Christian first. But so much of the news that we cover is political, like overtly or politicized. Yes. And so it's still important to know what's going on. And so what we've done is we have, of our writers, we have writers from across the political spectrum. I would, and everyone, especially if we're writing about something that's politically contentious, both sides will kind of read and sign off and say, like, really? Hey, yeah, you haven't like grossly misrepresented what I'm trying to say. And that's not like, we spend a lot of time thinking about how both sides are going to view something or hear something, not because it's our goal to be center or like perfectly balanced, but because that even if you were to agree with what we say, like if we were to rip on Trump, for example, even if you hate Trump, we're now no longer a reliable, unbiased news source, you know? And so like, we certainly missed the mark. I mean, it's a whole bunch of humans behind there making the judgment calls, but to say like, hey, to help people let their guard down and say, okay, here's what's going on. And to be able to hear the Christian perspective in the Bible verse that we say, an important part of that process is to not take the jabs, not take the low-hanging fruit, and to say, hey, you know what? When people hear their political party attacked, and I would say this is wrong of them, but it is true and totally happens with me and people on our team. When you hear those attacks, your walls go up.
Yeah.
You're angry at the other side. And so to just try to prevent causing that certainly is something that we is not unintentional.
I'm curious how you guys are able to gather the facts and even that term fact, gather the facts of what is happening in the world when you're going to traditional news outlets that are bending the facts in the direction they want it to go. That's where I've been kind of disenchanted with, even things like, you know, if some event happens and then people share the picture or video on Twitter and then everybody's retweeting, comes out a week later that video was completely taken out of context. This has happened so many. There was a guy who's documented, this is going to take it for what it's worth. You know, in the last 5 years, I think that there has been, I think over 1,000 racial events that turned out to be hoaxes. Now that's a still small percentage of the thousands and thousands of thousands of racial things that weren't hoax. Okay, so that, you know, but 1,000, that's, you know, Jussie Smollett is a classic example. And then you have, you know, the Covington Catholic thing, you know, you got several things where it's like, even as I saw, I'm like, oh my word, this is horrible. And I was like drawn into it. And then later I'm like, oh yeah, that I'm glad I didn't retweet that because it turned out to be not true later. I've seen so much of that now I'm kind of like, I see anything and I kind of shrug my shoulders and like, my response is maybe I need to spend 20 hours actually maybe flying out to this place and doing my own journalism to actually say, okay, this is what happened. How do you, is that true? Is it hard to get, okay, here are the actual facts of what happened. Another, just real quick, another example, you know, there was a picture of a Ukrainian soldier, you know, kissing his kids goodbye as he went and fought in battle and everybody's retweeted, look how sad this is and all that. It turns out to be, it was a Russian soldier kissing, you know.
Right.
Which is why I don't retweet. First of all, I'm not a Twitter justice warrior. I try to do justice in real life, not on a screen or whatever, but, you know, yeah, I don't know. Does it take a ton of work to actually say, okay, here is actually what's happening just to be able to report it accurately? And how do you do that?
Right. Well, so this is, again, I think a really valid criticism of the pour over. But the way we select stories is potentially, like, for example, the news that we might cover would be, hey, here, like, the news is that it's being retweeted, you know, and like, here's a photo of what's being retweeted or something like that. Or we just present, like, we don't do any firsthand journalism. We don't do investigative journalism. Okay. And so there have been multiple times, like with the Covington Catholic thing, where we ran the story and then the next time we go, hey, turned out that wasn't true. And it's like, that was a big, both the initial story and the fact that it was fake turned out to not be what it appeared.
There was a much, much bigger narrative that wasn't being told. Yeah.
The story that we ran the first time was completely inaccurate more information came out, you know?
Okay.
Because it was based on the information that we had. And when more information came out, it was a...
Right.
What everyone was saying was totally inaccurate. And so there's part of it that's just like, hey, but if you followed the pour over, you're going to be aware of things as they happen. And if, here's an example that would be like, we've gotten some emails because we have people from across the spectrum, including some what I would classify conspiracy theorists, of basically saying, hey, you are just parroting what the mainstream media is saying about Russia, you have to go to this, you know, weird site and listen to what this person's saying. And it's like, you know what? If what that person is saying turns out to be true and we've been completely wrong, we will run that story. But right now, based on the information that we have, here is what's happening in the world. And it's a little bit like what you were talking about earlier. Our goal is for Christians to feel slightly removed from all this and to say, hey, I am a Christian first. I'm not, you know, like my citizenship is in heaven. And one of the categories of the Christian perspectives that we will give is to say, keep an eternal perspective, stay focused on eternity. And so sometimes that plays out of saying, wow, everyone is obsessed with the Grammys and the award shows, or a sporting event or something. And it's like, you know what, no matter what happens, no matter if your team won or lost, nothing eternal significance has really changed. So we shouldn't let that dictate our emotions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that application is, wow, what's happening in the world right now, like in Russia and Ukraine, is terrifying and scary. And we need to pray, and here are opportunities to give, and here's other things to do. But another thing that we need to do is to be grateful that this world is not our home and not the end, and that Christ is returning, and there will be a day with no more war. And we can't let that, you know, make us gloss over the reality of the pain and suffering and whatever. But it is a, it is also important for Christians to say, hey, no matter what happens, no matter if that war comes to my front door, my eternity is secure. And that is what you're missing.
Yeah.
If all you do is follow the largest media sources, is you're just going to hear the facts. You're going to leave terrified, and you go on with your day and spread the fear.
I think from my vantage point, I think you guys do a good balance. And I truly mean this, a good balance between taking world events seriously, taking injustice seriously, not downplaying it, like, oh, it doesn't matter, who cares, but also making sure we're reading that through the lens of our ultimate kingdom identity with a broader worldview, with hope, without, again, this kind of back and forth, without downplaying the significance of what's going on. Because that's really, I don't know, I mean, I'm here, I'm preaching to the choir, but I mean, we do absolutely need to be aware of what's going on. Absolutely, we should be agents of justice in the world. But in the last few years, maybe a couple decades, like, the means by which we learn about those events has been so politicized and propagandized or whatever. Like, there's so much more going on than people saying, here's an evil in the world, let's be concerned. Let's read this event through the narrative that I'm going to make you, that I want you to read through it, because then you'll be more, you know, giving your allegiance to my tribe. And then that's going to lead to more sponsors and ads and money. You know, there's such a machine.
Right.
Neil Postman wrote about this, Amusing Ourselves to Death, 50 years ago? I don't know if you read that book, but I read it recently. And, you know, he was talking about the age of television and what that has done to the medium of news. And you can almost scratch out in that book written 40 years ago, television, and just put internet. And it was eerie how relevant that is and how accurate it is, that the very medium of relaying the news has reshaped how we even think about our own identity in the world. So I think you guys do a good job there. I want to just confirm too, like, you are deliberately reporting on events that aren't necessarily the most significant from a Christian perspective, but are the events that are being talked about, that they are being frontline. And so you're just trying to give, regardless of whether you think they should be frontline, they are being frontline. They are what people are thinking about. They are what's affecting people's hearts and minds. And so you want to give a less biased overview of those events. So that is deliberately what you're trying to do, right? Because that you said you get critique for that.
Yeah. And again, I think like, I would, the reason we don't select stories based on significance is not because we think our way is better, but because we think there are other organizations that do that well, okay. You know, like, and we don't have theologians on staff. We aren't pastors. We don't want to be your church. And so our goal is to say, hey, here are the things that you're going to hear about. Whether or not you care about sports at all, you're going to hear about March Madness. And so here's what's going on in March Madness. You can be aware of it. We're going to spend 15, 20 seconds telling you what's going on. And if it's what really truly everyone's talking about, it's one of the top stories, we'll add some perspective there for you to say like, hey, okay, in the world, this is what's going on and this is how I can approach it as a Christian. And that's not a complete, like, it's not like, hey, here is the Christian appropriate response to it. Like I said, all those are pre-written. Mm-hmm. So it's, we've taken some categories of things where we saw in the first years of doing the pour over when no one read it of like, here are the areas that we fall short and go wrong a lot of the time. I talked about one of them being keeping an eternal perspective.
Yeah.
Like it's, I think the best example of that was around the impeachment trials of like, okay, this is huge world news. And certainly why Trump is being impeached might have, like there's potential for the reason for a president being impeached to have moral impacts on society or something like that. Mm-hmm. But regardless of who is president, God is in control. Mm-hmm. If the president is removed from office, guess what? We're still called to love God and love others, and our eternity is secure, you know? And so like this thing that can be all consuming that you should be aware of, that if you're a Christian and you have your head so far in the sand that you don't even know this is going on, mm-hmm. you're failing to acknowledge that you do live in the world with other Christians and non-Christians, but we don't need it to be all consuming.
Yeah, no, that's good, man. Do you know the demographic of your listeners? Or, like, do you feel like it's does lean right, leans left, or is a huge part of your demographic one that kind of resists the partisan divide? Or
yeah, it's so I know we have people both sides because we hear from both of them, like there are some stories that we will run. That and by and large, the feedback is positive and we love and are very grateful for our audience. But there is obviously a vocal minority. Mm-hmm. And so we know that there are people that are very strongly conservative and very strongly liberal. Okay. We get some insights into like age and gender through MailChimp. And who we kind of think of and the other group that we know is a really solid portion of our audience is kind of like the classic example of a pour over reader from what we can tell is like a mid 30s mom who is bothered, like may have some political leanings, but they are just not to the magnitude of what you read in other news sources. So like they don't like reading CNN or Fox because they just, the magnitude of political values is so much higher. And they're like, I want to be informed and aware, but I'm not that passionate about my political party in general.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you allowed to talk about your political viewpoints or do you try to keep that completely, which... You probably should.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe upbringing. I mean,
I don't
assume,
talk about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so like, I mean, my dad is a pastor. I grew up in, obviously in a Christian house. And I don't know, I guess, I don't think my dad is public with his political views because he's a pastor. So maybe I won't out him in any way. Yeah. But in general, I would say I'm quite center. And I have voted for both parties.
Okay.
And so I don't know who my dad has voted for every time. I wouldn't be surprised if he has voted for both parties and just said, modeled both my parents and also it through the pour over and just kind of efforts to do that of saying, hey, our goal really needs to be putting Christ first. And yeah, I'm quite sympathetic. Honestly, what I will say and what is core to the pour over is that we believe, and I believe, you can love Jesus and have voted for either party, you know? And that is what one of the things that we want to dismantle of saying, like, if you are a single issue voter, I personally am actually probably more tolerant of single issue voters than a lot of people, but don't make that the only issue that anyone can vote for. Like, if God has placed on your heart and it's reflected throughout your life something, if you are passionate about immigration and work for a nonprofit that helps and have opened your home and done other things, it would be inconsistent for you to then vote for someone who has immigration political or policy views that are contrary to your own. But God has also placed on other people's hearts different issues, and that is a good thing. You know, like the fact that people have different passions and talents is a good thing, and that will necessarily impact who they vote for. Like, who you vote for is not a salvation level issue. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be Christians on both sides of that vote.
I'm curious, do you have any favorite, like, somewhat mainstream or just favorite journalists? Like, people that are doing journalism, like, when they talk about an event, you would kind of be like, oh, this person for the most part is high on my trustworthy list. I've got a few that I can think of if I'm curious.
Yeah, I would love to hear yours. Honestly, I read a lot of news summaries and then dive into to kind of understand the topics that we should be covering. And then we'll dive in and read things from both sides and different stuff. But like, because of that kind of top-down approach, I don't follow individual journalists necessarily, but I'd love to hear. I do end up reading a lot of individual journalists, but I'd be interested to hear who you follow.
So I get mainly from podcasts because I like the long form, like conversational, nature of it. I'm trying to think of another. I'm blanking on this guy's name. So here's a few that come to mind. Andrew Sullivan would be one. I feel like he's very honest. Barry Weiss might be my favorite. Between Andrew and Barry, they just scream honesty to me. Again, not that there's a big difference between do they get it right every time? No. But are they being honest with where they're at? Yeah, I think so. Like, and if they get something wrong, they'll turn around and say, "Hey, I got that wrong." You know, I really like Matt Taibbi. Katie Herzog's lesser known, but she co-hosts a podcast. I'm blanking on the guy's name. Oh, Jesse Singel. Jesse Singel's probably the most controversial among all of those. They're all controversial. Everybody's controversial, but Jesse Singel and Katie Herzog co-host a podcast, and again, I feel like all of these would be left of center. None of them are Christians. In fact, Katie Herzog's I think an atheist. She's lesbian, married to a woman. Barry Weiss is married to a woman, atheist. Andrew Sullivan has a Catholic background. He's gay. Matt Taibbi's left of center. Jesse Singel would be left of center. Anyway, those are ones that I, he's been in the spotlight a lot, but I do listen to Joe Rogan a lot some things. He says some things. I'm like, no, that's just flat out wrong. Especially when he wanders into religion. I'm like, oh my word, that's a train wreck. but again, I feel like he is a genuinely curious person and he can be passionate. Mm. He'll say something, that I may or may not disagree with, but I know, or I don't get the impression that he's lying to me. Mm-hmm. Almost every other mainstream outlet, I just don't have, and some more than others, certain, I don't want to sweep everybody under, but I just, they just seem so narratively, like they can't, their job depends on them having a certain viewpoint. They can't mm-hmm. not have a different perspective. Like, and I know mm-hmm. they will gain more followers if they say this way or whatever and don't say that. But people like Barry Weiss and others who have, at great cost, have said things that have been unpopular for their typical tribe, Like to me, that is kind of the mark of honesty. Yeah. Have they said things and done things that have caused them to lose social cred with their tribe? Every single one of these has. That's why they're all on Substack and been. Are you familiar with all those names, or is that
no?
Do you resonate
honestly? Yeah. And this is again, it's. It feels to me a little bit like I sit at the intersection of news and Christianity, and just I'm such on the border of both of them that, like, when I'm talking with my dad, he'll mention something. He's like, "Well, of course you read whatever." It's like, no, I don't dive that deep into what's going on in Christendom right now. And I feel the same way when people talk about kind of classic journalism as well. So I've heard some of these names, but I don't follow any of them closely.
Okay. Yeah. Andrew and Barry are they're amazing. Wish you could hang out with them, but, are there others that you, if there was a good, if you can be on the phone with somebody, like, not that that's possible or whatever, but like, if you could have somebody on speed dial whenever you wanted like a good evaluation of what's going on, do you have names that pop in your head that you're wanting to share or not really?
Not really. And I'm not trying to dodge the question either. I just don't, like I said, I mean, I'm part of what I do is I'm in the newsletter, news summary space. So, every day of the week I get 15 different newsletters.
Oh, wow.
And so there are people there, but journalism, like you're saying, and I'm sure I could learn tons of them business model wise, like they're all on Substack. That's kind of the same space, but I get a few newsletters like The Flip Side, for example, which will take a big topic and say, this is what's going on the right, this is what's going on the left. And then I'll click and dig in to those, but it's all kind of driven by saying like, okay, once I fully understand, or once I understand enough to be able to represent this in 25 words, I'm good and I'm moving on. So there are, I have an MBA. And so when I'm reading news in my free time for just kind of like personal enjoyment, mm-hmm. it tends to be way more into the economy and business leadership and stuff like that. Whereas I get the impression that what you're asking is more political, like more umbrella. And so I mean, if you want to talk about what's going on with yield curves right now,
like,
hey, we can have a cool conversation about that. It's wild, but that's just not it's a little bit more niche.
So is the Wall Street Journal, do you feel like that's a respectable, I mean, obviously it's huge and famous and everything, where does it sit? Does it sit right of center, or is it pretty central? And is that for the most part, when you're reading Wall Street Journal, do you feel like this is an honest evaluation? Or
yeah, so, and it's weird. Like the Wall Street Journal and NPR is another good example. Mm-hmm. Like it depends on, like, NPR's opinion pieces are left of center.
Sure,
they're like more classic reporting is much closer to center. Same thing with the Wall Street Journal, but reverse.
Okay.
So like if you're reading a Wall Street Journal opinion piece, it's going to be right of center. Whereas And especially like if you're looking for economic or business news, it's a well-funded, there are great journalists there. And yeah. a lot of that just isn't political in nature, you know? So like they're going to, it depends on what type of information you're looking for and where within that umbrella you're sitting. Mm-hmm. But generally, like, yes, I read the Wall Street Journal, but it's not necessarily for their political takes. But it's another thing, like I read a whole bunch, and if something political is on the Wall Street Journal, then it's like, okay, this is, they tend to give the top spot to something business or economy related. Okay. So, hey, that's a major indicator that this is a big political thing and I need to read about it here and other places, because it's something we're going to write about.
Okay. All right. So you say you do follow news, obviously very, very, thoroughly and kind of have a pulse of what's going on. When you look forward to the next couple of years, so isn't there what's the 2022 election? Is this the Senate or I don't even know.
Midterms. There's the Senate, a third of the Senate seats will be up, and I don't know what percentage of the House, but there will be House seats as well.
What's your prediction? What's going to happen? As somebody who is not invested into one side or the other heavily, it's I love asking people who aren't, in a sense, aren't so invested on it going one direction or the other. What's your prediction? Are you allowed to? And if you're like, I'd rather not say it, sleep.
You know,
because I'm going to ask you about 2024.
No, I mean, I'll say because, yeah, that's. I mean, the first thing I'll say is certainly like the pour over doesn't care. The pour over is just going to cover news regardless.
Sure.
And I also don't care in the large sense of being like, hey, you know, regardless of what happens, we'll be fine. We don't need to, but just kind of like intellectually, some of the things that I think are interesting is the Republican Party is fractured, but is majority still kind of in Trump's camp, but there are some that are frustrated, and a lot of those people are just not running for reelection because it's become really difficult for them to, they feel like they don't have a party and it's become really difficult for them to win. And then the Democrats are really united against Trump, but not around anyone. Like you mentioned a Biden flag earlier. I don't think Biden flags exist, you know, like no one, it's just interesting that, I don't know what will happen. I think there's a good chance that, the Republicans will reclaim the Senate. I feel like they have more focus. Like both sides are equally passionate, but the Democrats are a little bit more scattered in mm-hmm. how to focus that passion on mm-hmm. election day. Like Republicans know who they want to vote for and the ideology they want to vote for. Democrats know they don't want that, but the difference between a centrist Democrat and a leftist Democrat, like those could be two totally different parties. And you've seen that with they control the House, the Senate, and the White House and aren't able to get things passed because of division within their own party. It seemed like a recipe for them to be able to do whatever they wanted. But people like Joe Manchin, who are more center, are just like, hey, no, we're not. You need to cut a zero off this bill. And then you're really offending you know, people like Bernie Sanders or AOC who are farther left. And so because of that, if I had to guess, I would say, I think Republicans will have a strong midterm.
Because from the little I've heard, and again, I'm such a piecemeal of sources. The ratings on Biden and his administration are not good at all. Right. I mean, it seems like the next 2 to 4 years could see us swing back to the right, largely because the quote unquote left in the last year and a half has not been a popular. Now I'm not going to say neutral. I'm not going to say he's done a bad job. I'm saying whatever they've been doing hasn't been maybe as popular as, for instance, other Democrat areas of leadership.
The other thing that is interesting is Biden is very old. So he like, and he's quite unpopular within the Democratic Party. So like, it would be really hard, and it might happen in 2024, but like, it'll be hard if Trump runs for the Republican Party to nominate anyone other than him, because all like Governor DeSantis in Florida, he's working with the same base. Whereas like people who like DeSantis also like, they might like DeSantis more, but a lot of DeSantis's credibility comes from like the Trump base. And so if they're pitted against each other, I would expect Trump to win. Whereas, like I was saying, there's not like, there are a lot of strong Democrats or people that are passionate Democrats, but there's not like a huge Biden base. Like Biden is relatively unpopular for a president, even within his own party. Mm-hmm. And so the party might be able to unify around someone else, even if Biden runs for reelection. And I mean, the other thing is like, I don't know why at 82, you would want to be president.
He can't like, run man, for real. I don't follow it close
so
enough
far that he is running for reelection.
If that happens and Trump gets elected, I'm going to say that's the Democratic Party from my very night. This is me talking out loud. I don't know what I'm talking about. From my minuscule vantage point, I would say the Democratic Party got Trump elected if they put Biden up against.
It's and
at that again, age, I mean, this is, are we allowed to talk about his mental state, or is that still we're not allowed to? When do we get a? Are we allowed to talk about that, or does that become like a dog whistle to the Republican Party or whatever? I mean, that's, I don't know. He's not going to run. There's no way.
I mean, it's certainly
that would be entertaining to me. I honestly, as somebody who's in exile in America, I think that'd be entertaining. Yeah, let's do that. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah, you know, I guess speaking from the vantage point of an owner of a or the operator of a media company, it would make good news.
Oh, do you feel like sometimes you're in District 11 watching the Capitol? I mean, it's eerily similar. Or we could even talk about like the Will Smith slap, or just Hollywood and their role. It's like, no, it's sometimes I'm like, oh wait, I thought I was watching Hunger Games. I forgot I'm watching like real life. This is,
right. It is. I mean, there were comments, this was years ago, but like the director of House of Cards was like in the final season, he's like, yeah, this is going to be the final season. Like we can't compete with reality. And it's true, you know, like there are, and it's part of, to bring it back to kind of the pour over's mission, that is it's a real danger to Americans, you know, like, we write the news, we cover the news. Obviously we think it is important to, be informed, but I was talking with someone, yesterday, and they said, they're like, I have no data to back this up. I'd be willing to place big money on the fact that Christians as a whole read and watched a whole lot more about Will Smith than their Bible this week. You know, again, no data to back it up, but I would say that's probably true. And so part of protecting your heart against that and saying, hey, it's good to be aware of what's going on, but it's also, even if you're getting your news from the pour over, who's trying to be politically unbiased and trying to point yourself to Christ, we are being shaped by culture a lot. We are spending a ton of our time talking about these things. And one of our hopes with the pour over is to say, what if we could help equip people to turn these conversations, these things that are already going to be talked about, into conversations where I get to share my faith, or let people aware of my faith, or, oh my gosh, that their response to this thing, their calm in the midst of this chaos, or their hope in the midst of this fear, their love for both sides, you know, in the midst of all the anger going on. I want that. That is so attractive and appealing. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the perspectives that we'll give, is saying, hey, you probably don't have control over the situation. You know, it's a vote in Washington, D.C., or it's a war, but you can, you do have an impact over how you speak about and respond to this event. And make it your goal when you're talking about this, not to convince people of your side, but to leave them with no doubt that you love everyone involved, even the people that you might be actively rooting against, you know? And I think that that could, if we could get Christians moving in that way and saying, hey, this is bad for my party, but it's good for God's children. Mm-hmm. And so I'm supporting it to the detriment of political movements that I support. Like, that would be such a amazing, glorifying, loud communicator to culture.
Do you? And you guys do that so well. You really do. I mean, it's every. If you haven't listened to the Pour Over podcast yet, you have to go check. I think I've sent a lot of listeners your way because my audience tends to be disenchanted with the politicalization of everything for the most part. Then they might lean left, lean right, or whatever. I mean, we all, I guess, do on some level. But yeah, it's for those who haven't heard it. I mean, you guys do such a good job. Just you scatter throughout the 5-7 minute podcast, like several references to let's keep our focus on the kingdom. Let's be informed. Let's know what's going on. Let's stand for truth and justice. Let's be concerned about the war going on in Ukraine. Absolutely. We're not separating ourselves from society. We want to be agents of truth and justice, but let's do that within the framework of keeping our allegiance to Christ. And you guys do a great job. So I don't want to kick a dead horse. So your prediction for 2024, I almost hate asking it because I personally just don't really care. But you would say if Trump and DeSantis go head to head in the primary, like, do you think Trump's going to win out and that it could be Trump Biden again? I got to get my popcorn out for that one.
I don't think Biden will run again. He has said he's going to run again. I think not. It would be hard for him to not say that he was going to run. He would just lose a lot of political capital if he was already kind of viewed as a lame duck president a year in. So I think there are plenty of reasons that he would say that he's running again, even if he weren't.
So who else would run if he doesn't? Then who's the next couple in line that you would think, not should, but will end up running?
Right. I don't know. And it will be interesting to see, and no one's going to come out in the next year because it'll be hard within the party to announce your candidacy before Biden has acknowledged that he's not going to run. Especially like a name that comes to mind is Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah.
He's still young. And maybe I'm missing it. It seems to be not hated within the party. And like he certainly has to, I would be shocked if he didn't run for president again, but it might not be in 2024. And then on the Republican side, it's hard for me to imagine Trump doesn't run again. DeSantis is clearly gearing up to run. Okay. Mike Pence seems to be gearing up to run. But again, all of those three people are pulling from
the same
different, like with subtle differences, the same core group.
I don't follow this closely enough to have a strong opinion, but DeSantis seems way more sane and potentially likable from right-leaning people versus Trump. Maybe it's the world I swim in, where I know a lot of right-leaning people who hate, they're very much the anti-Trump, you know, where DeSantis could be, and again, the 5 minutes I've heard him, you know, it just seems a little more reasonable, sane, but would line up on probably similar things, but
That's exactly it.
Okay.
Like he tends to, it's a slightly softer edge. You've removed some, but not all of the personality, and kind of, I don't know how to say this in a politically correct way, but unprofessionalism that Trump brings, you know, just kind of like a harshness at times, but a lot of the same policies.
Okay.
And so like, I think that he would, for the reasons you're saying, there's a large group of like never Trump Republicans that I think could get behind DeSantis, but as a whole, the Republican Party still likes Trump. And so it's a numbers game. DeSantis couldn't win if everyone that liked Trump voted for Trump.
Yeah. Okay.
Based on the polling that I've seen. But who knows, you know, and maybe when those are polls, those have been wrong famously before.
Sure, yeah.
But that's kind of at a high level, the landscape that I have seen, again, without, similar to you, without really caring. But do read the articles.
You didn't mention Harris on the Democrat side. Do you think she's not super well liked, right? I mean, she got pretty blasted in the primaries.
Yeah. And she is, from what I can see, more hated by Republicans than Biden is.
Yeah.
Like they really don't like Harris. She just, from my perspective, she hasn't really done anything. She's been, you know, she's been made the lead on like the border crisis and hasn't really moved the needle a whole lot there, from what I can tell. So like she is a historic VP and has the name recognition, but I don't know if she has done enough with that position to feel like she would get the support of the party. But again, these are speculations from someone who does not dive too deep into any of this and tends to stay at a high level and is not overly personally interested or concerned.
I've already spent way too much time even asking you questions about it.
No, they're fun
conversations. As someone who really doesn't care, but it's just like, it's, again, I care on the level of like, it's, you know, it's an interesting world event, and I happen to live in the country that is going through this, you know, and it does affect, it affects
absolutely
world economy, reputation, affects Christianity, affects a lot of stuff, you know? I don't want to downplay the significance of it, but Jason, I've taken you over your time, man. Just thank you so much for what you do. I'm just so thrilled to have found your podcast and newsletter. Again, I've listened to every single episode in the last, ever since I found it, last 3 or 4 months. And I enjoy, I guess, listening to your words every time I'm in the shower. I don't know if that's weird for people to imagine, but
Hey, really appreciate it. Thanks so much for the support and for having me on. This has been fun.
Sure. All right. God bless, man.